Hello, everybody. This is our night. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and you are listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is the night where you get to call in, and I am so happy to read your name for you and let you know the answer to any question you have that involves your name. This is the most wonderful thing. I want to tell you a little bit about the background of nameology science first. Nameology science came about because I was doing a seating chart in my seventh year of teaching. At the very beginning of the year, they pass out all the names, and we work with 150 students. That's divided up five classes, 30 kids each. And so, you know, you make this random seating chart because we all know that you don't want the kids sitting where they want to sit, because if you do, you've already lost control of your classroom. You've got to say right at the beginning who's in charge. And so I was doing these random seating charts at the beginning, and then I realized by the time I started the fourth seating chart that it really wasn't random, okay? Because what was happening, my brain was saying, you know, don't put Joshua next to Julie, because together they're going to be clowns. But if you separate them, they're okay. And Stephanie's going to be stubborn, so put her over the side where you don't have to change her seat all the time. And then Derek's going to need extra help, so put him up close. And as I realized this during that fourth class, I went, wait a minute, what's my brain doing? Now, you know, my brain's thoroughly trained in patterns because I was a math major and I have my master's. And I was teaching math classes. However, there is no math involved in nameology science. Now, I understand that in numerology, there's plenty of math that's involved, but we're doing nameology. It's a totally different system. It gives some of the same information and some of the different information, but it is absolutely different than numerology. It's different than astrology or face reading or handwriting analysis. And the best thing about nameology science is the minute you're introduced to somebody or you see their name in print, you're off and running and you get a really good sense of who this person is. And it's the only one that I'm aware of that doesn't need the other person's cooperation. You know, if you're going to do astrology to try to get an answer or get to know someone, you need to know their birthday, their place of birth, their time of birth. If you're going to do handwriting, you need to get a handwriting sample. You know, it seems like everything asks for their cooperation or more knowledge. But the minute somebody introduces themselves, even just the first name, you are off and running and you get an idea of who you're interacting with. So back to that first day when I was doing all the seating charts, it really got my curiosity up and I wondered, my brain is thinking of some kind of a pattern, some kind of something that why am I getting a feeling already about these students? And so what I did was I went back to the first class and I said, I'm going to take my time and write down what I'm getting on every single student. And so that therefore, I want to see if this is true. So 3 months went by when I looked at what I had written. 3 months earlier, I was astounded at the accuracy. It was like, OMG, if this isn't the best shortcut. You know, we have since used that in different schools. When I was working for the community college in San Antonio, I was called in for the last semester of a grant program that was being funded by the Gates Foundation, and it was the ninth semester. And they had realized that teaching math in their methodology, that everybody improved about 5% over the ones that didn't do that methodology. And then the ninth semester that they were trying this, the person that had originally signed up was no longer available. And so they called over to the math department and said, we want a math teacher that's kind of like this. And bless the secretary, she said, oh, you want Sharon. And so I went over just for that last semester. And we had over a 40% increase in learning. And what did we do differently? Because we did everything else the same. One, we spiraled the curriculum. And two, we grouped people by their name so that they would have people that could really understand them next to them so that anybody in the group that caught on could help the other ones. And we balanced everybody by their names, which was really exciting to see the differences. You know, so I think it contributed, even though spiraling the curriculum really, really helps. And so that's how namology started. And I was curious. And so I started making all of these charts, just incredible number of charts. I knew 8 Davids. So I made a column for each of my Davids with their last name going across the top. And down the bottom side, I said, okay, what have I noticed that's in, you know, that what have I noticed about this person? What are the adjectives and adverbs that I would use to describe this person? And I put it all in there, everything down. And when I was putting everything down, I realized that there were certain things that were the same all across the board that all the Davids had. Now, they might use it differently, but that main characteristic was the same. So I said, okay, that must be in the name David. Whereas everything else was like, you know, it had to come from someplace, but it wasn't from David. So I gathered it was from the middle name or the last name. Now, the coolest part is I did that with enough people, and I knew so many people, that after a while, not only could I do it for a full name and saying this is what's in this full name, but I realized that this full name and that full name over there might have the same quality, and yet it didn't look like they have the same letters. So how was that working? Eventually, it came down to the placement of the letter in the name. So in that placement of the name, there is the first vowel position. The first vowel position is so important in the first name because it tells us how we get along with other people. It tells us how we communicate. It says how we get our lessons. For example, lessons come in one of 3 packages. We either get our lessons in from relationships, or from finances and resources, or from health. And it'll tell us how we get our lessons. It also tells us what our learning style is. Are we a visual learner? Are we an auditory learner? Are we a kinesthetic learner? And it will not only say what kind is our primary learning, but it'll say what our secondary learning is. You know, I jokingly say all the time that that our names will literally tell us everything we need to know, from what we like in the bedroom until what we are like in the boardroom. Anyways, you can tell I'm very enthusiastic about namology science because it helps so many incredible people to do better in their own lives and their own relationships. So I'm going to interrupt my own story and let's go to Catherine on line 1. She's from California. Kathy, can you hear us? Hi, Kathy. What answer?
Hi,
what question
glad
can
to
I
speak
answer
with you.
For you? This is my pleasure. What would you like to know?
I don't know. I didn't know I should do a specific question. I thought just kind of what my name means as far as my path, you know, generally what I should be doing or should know.
Okay. So let me give you some of the things you came to learn, all right? Because all of our names give
perfect.
Us 7 lessons, and then it not only gives us the 7 lessons that we came to learn, but it actually tells us how to, you know, go about learning them. So one of the lessons in your name is to learn how not to be controlled by others. So in other words, it says you have a tendency to give your power away, okay? So how not to be controlled by others. And so if somebody asks you to do something, what your name indicates is to ask yourself, do I really want to do this? Or do I just want to do this because I have a generous heart and I'm used to saying yes? In other words, instead of saying yes immediately or saying okay, because there's a part of you, according to your name, that says if they have the gall to ask me, then that must mean I'm supposed to say yes and do it. Okay?
That's true. That's exactly true.
And so it's literally to stop and say, wait a minute, they got a lot of nerve. And so you ask them, you reword what they're asking you, and you literally put it out there like something to the effect of, okay, now I want to make sure that I heard you right. So you're wanting me to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is they asked you, so that at the end of today, your job will be done and you can go home on time, but then I'll have to turn around and do my job and stay late. Did I get that right? Is that what you're asking me? And just, you know, sound a little
actually,
naive.
That's exactly what happened to me last night.
And so
that exact scenario.
Yeah, well, that's what your name says, is that that's how people are taking advantage of you. And do you have what we call the chutzpah to be able to say something like that to them and say, okay, I'm just clarifying, you know, and then they'll go, oh, oh my God, she's seen through my shenanigans, you know, and then they'll walk away and not expect you to do it. Okay. So that's learning how to do that is one of the things that your soul wants you to know how to do. And coupled with that, is a challenge in your name about time management. Okay, and how do we manage your time? So let's say that I'm at work with you and I come up and I go, hey, Kathy, can you come help me with ABC? You would normally say, yes, drop what you're doing, come help me. And again, you're staying late to get your own work done, but mine's done. I'm going home on time. So this is what your name says to do about that. When someone comes to you and says, hey, Kathy, can you help me with ABC? You look at them and you say, I would love to help you with ABC. Because, of course, everybody loves that answer, you know, and they like you for that. And then you say, once I finish XYZ. And so they'll stop and they'll look at you and you'll go, yeah, I just need to get done with XYZ before I can come help you. Everybody gets that. Now, the most important thing is to listen. What do they say next? If they say, hey, oh, okay, then I'll see you later, then you never go to help them, okay? You know, unless you're totally done and absolutely bored, which I don't think you ever are. So, okay, so at the end of the day, when they come to you and they see you going home and they say, hey, how come you didn't come help me with ABC? You just shrug your shoulders and say, I am so sorry I didn't finish XYZ. Everybody gets that. They don't hold it against you. Because some of the reason is you want other people's approval. You're a people pleaser in your name. And so, you know, you still want their approval, but they will still approve of you when you told them you'd love to help them. You just need to finish this other stuff first. And what they will find after a while is these are the people that want anybody to do their job. And when they realize you're not just going to drop everything and come to help them, they'll go find somebody else who will. And they'll even stop bugging you after a while. Now, the other scenario is when somebody comes and asks you, Kathy, can you help me with ABC? And you say your standard, I'd love to once I finish XYZ. And then they go, what can I do to help you with XYZ? What that person is telling you is, I need you and your specific knowledge. I just don't need anybody to do my job for me. I'm stuck. I need your knowledge. I need your specific help. They're also saying, I'm willing to help you back. So this is a great person because if you ever get stuck and you need extra help, that's the one to go ask. So if you want extra help, you give them something to do for you. If you don't need the extra help or you don't want it, you say, it's okay, I'll come to a stopping point soon. And then within a half an hour, go help them. Because that's the person who is not taking advantage. They desperately need you and they're willing to give back. Does that make sense to you how I said that?
Yes, and I just can't believe it's like you looked in my life. Yesterday, somebody asked me to do something at work. I stopped everything to do this work for her, and it took me over half my day. I didn't get mine done, and I stayed late to do hers. I mean, to do mine because I had done hers. And then when I told her, okay, I've got this all done, she said, oh, well, I went ahead and did that. I just forgot to tell you.
Oh, ouch.
So we both worked on the same project and she neglected after asking me to do it to say that she would just go ahead and do it.
You know, that's disappointing, but it's your generous heart. Now, the one other thing I'd like to let you know before we take the next caller is that, you know, your health issues are in your name. Okay. And that generosity of putting other people first that I'm seeing in your name is what causes Lyme disease to be attracted to you. So that's what's in your name to be watchful of or careful of. Okay? So
what Lyme disease is, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, Lyme disease is sometimes people get it from ticks if they're out in the forest and a tick, whatever, drops on them and they don't notice. Okay?
Okay.
But there's different ways of getting Lyme disease. And it's something that really saps the energy. Now, should you ever get that, Sherry Edwards' work, and she's at soundhealthoptions.com. I love her work. Okay. And her work will literally, with sound, be able to help counterbalance what's happening in your body. So should you end up with that for any reason, there's your antidote. You go in that direction okay. and find out from Sherry Edwards how you fix that, because the majority of doctors don't know how.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I mean, even if they think they know how, Sherry Edwards stuff is working. And she got Scientist of the Year back like in 2002. And her stuff's fabulous. Okay.
Wow. Well, I think you're pretty fabulous knowing all this. You amaze me.
Oh, well,
thank you.
But it's just sitting there in the letters and the name. Anybody can learn how to do this. It's not a psychic. It's just looking at the patterns. Okay. You have a wonderful day, Kathy.
You.
And thank you for calling in. Elizabeth, it is your turn, but I'm going to call you Lizzie because that's what you asked for. And I love New York. Lizzie, are you there?
Hi. No, that's not my name. That's my granddaughter. She just got born, and I wanted to ask about her name.
Oh, yes.
So I told her, I think he's a, I'm not sure if he's a
co-host,
but he's one of the
Don.
Owners of the station, I think.
Yes, Don.
Right. So that's what I was asking about, because she's being called Lizzie by her parents, but her real name is like Elizabeth Joyce's name. I just told them that's how you spell it. But and her middle name is very unusual because they're not spelling it with an E-N, Karen.
Right. He spelled it down here with an I. And what's your name?
Mine is Pauline. I've talked to you before, but I was really curious about my granddaughter, about how she, I don't know. It sounds like you can do a lot more than with the name than you've been, like, usually give us some things, but then there's a lot more. Like, I was wondering if there's any way you could tell about your relationship with somebody, like my granddaughter and me. If I were to do a private with you, that's probably what I would find out. And you just said about health. You could say a lot. You can really do a whole lot more than what you're doing.
I do a whole lot. I can say what I like to do the first time I'm talking with somebody on a private is go through the seven reasons why they're here. You know, because I think that's so important, because only you know how well you're doing in those seven areas, but it keeps you focused. It's like saying, man, this is what my soul wanted me to make sure I learned. I need to stay on track, you know,
and
to make
sure. Can you do also like a relationship if you want to see if this relationship is really worth going forward, if you like dating somebody or something like that as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You really know it all.
I love it. I always say, call me before you fall in love, because once you fall in love, you don't want to hear what I have to say.
I know. I thought you warned me about somebody, and actually it looks like it's going that way, but I'm like thinking I better check before I keep going, because you sort of gave me something about it, and I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to go through it again and get pushed away again. I don't want to waste my time.
Exactly. And you'll know up front how they interact with you. And sometimes both people are very, very good. They're just not compatible. And it doesn't mean that the other person's a bad person. It just means it's not the right one for you.
They should have you on Coast. I know you've been on Coast. They have somebody helping them with numerology with couples, like the paranormal group. But they actually need to also do the name. That would be like really cool to have you do that as well.
Yes.
I think so. All right. So back to my granddaughter. I'm just spitballing what you can do. I mean, I'm just realizing how much you can really, you know, tell us. I mean, I have to get that book. I know that'll be a start, but I will never be as expertise at it as you are. I mean, I just love that you can do that with the name.
You know what, Pauline? The coolest thing is when people take my classes, literally within 3 years, they're just as fast and just everybody's as good at it. It takes 3 years of practice is what I'm seeing.
Okay. I will keep that on the back burner. I do want to learn this. It's really fun. It sounds like so much fun.
It is fun.
Okay. About my granddaughter's name. What do you get out of it? What do you want to tell me
about her? She has got a really good sense of self. She's got a lot of self-confidence. And family is really, really important to her. But by golly, she wants to have things done her way. She already wants to have things done her way. She will always want to have things done her way. Okay? She's got these letters.
Goodness. My two granddaughters are just the other one is in numerology. She's a double one. This one is a four. I don't know if you use numerology, but I know from – I didn't think she. Yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. It even connects with her numerology. What you just said.
Yeah, I always like to hear that because I have no idea how to do numerology. I kept myself so pure when I was figuring this out because I didn't want to have influence from any other system. I didn't want to contaminate what I was doing.
That's why I didn't, you know, I sort of have that more under my belt, than that's why I'm loving the name, learning nemology. How do you say it? Nemology.
Yeah, nemology. Okay. Well, I pronounce
that's my next,
nemology.
Rather than astrology, I prefer this.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah, astrology is too complicated. Our friends could do that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So also with your granddaughter, it's like she wants to be the queen. It's like she wants to be the one of importance, and she wants attention. And so she always wants the adoration. And just know that. So sincere compliments will get her really, really loving you. Okay? Because
thanks
that's going to be...
Thanks for the tricks.
Yes.
There's going to be two grandmas, and I don't really want to compete. I just want to know who what I'm dealing with. I'm not trying to compete because she's a great grandmother as well. And I just like to know how, just like to know her personality so I can... You know, be a better grandmother to her, not in competition with another one.
Well, what's really interesting is when Lizzie gets stressful, it's like she forgets her leadership skills. So when she's under stress, so helping her know what to do when she's under stress would be very helpful for her. She's got an incredible memory. She's highly independent. Okay. She's got a rebellious spirit, does not want to be told what to do. Okay.
Now, he's got two daughters like this. I mean, I can't wait. You know what? He's getting what he's. he was that way to me. So now he's going to see what is like doubly. I'm sorry. I feel like it's because the boy is not the same for the girl. Girls really appreciate their moms. He did not. It does not in this moment appreciate what I've experienced with him. Now he's going to get it through his daughters. I always find it funny. Parents always have that happen with their grandchildren.
That's right. I mean, I remember when our son used to throw temper tantrums, and he was like between 1 and 2 years old, and he would throw himself on the floor and throw this temper tantrum. And I would look at him and go, oh, my God, just ignore him until he gets through with this, so he's not going to realize that this gets him attention, right, that this is not a successful endeavor. And we've been ignoring him for like 4 months. And my sister-in-law came down to visit us, and when he threw one of those temper tantrums on the floor, she went over there, she pointed her finger at him, and just started howling and laughing and laughing and laughing. And the number of times I had to say, we're trying to ignore that. We're trying not to give him attention when he does that. And she was howling. And she says, I had to babysit my younger brother, the man you married. And that's exactly what he would do to me.
Oh, that explains why she was cracking up like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it turns out that our son hated to be laughed at. And that was the last time he threw the temper tantrum. That was the perfect response.
Kidding. That was the answer?
No.
Oh, wow.
That was the answer.
That was the attention. He didn't like attention. Isn't that funny?
He didn't want that kind of attention. So with Elizabeth, know that she's very strong-headed. She really needs help and guidance in how to lead where more people win. Because that's what her soul is asking this time. Her soul is saying, I have been a leader all the way through. I always have a good, strong sense of self. I have a good, strong sense of right and wrong and what I should be doing. However, when I lead, everybody doesn't benefit. And that's her goal this time. Let me learn how to lead where everybody benefits and not just me.
A win-win situation, kind of.
A win-win. And it's so she's got to learn how to think about other people and their responses when she's leading so that they will want to follow her and not feel resentful when they're following her.
Okay, that sounds great. So they're calling her Lizzie. Does that change anything in her?
It helps.
Calling her that.
It helps her become more sensitive to others. So it's actually going to help her in this, in what she came to learn.
Okay, great. Thank you. It sounds like you have another call calling because somebody's peeping through.
I do. But Pauline, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael. Michael from New York. Hello, Michael.
Hello,
what can I do for you?
Hello, Sharon. I missed that. You broke up a little.
That's okay. I pronounce it Sharon. A lot of New Yorkers, I think, would pronounce Sharon Sharon from their backgrounds. But anyway, what can I do
no,
for
I
you?
No, I said, it's Sharon.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like the song, my Sharona without the A.
Yeah, Sharon, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't mean that. That was totally innocent.
Oh, I have to correct people all the time on my name. I just blame my mother.
I just took a quick look at it, and I thought it was Sharon, but I was listening to what was being said, and I, but Sharon, I love it. I never heard it before.
So, Michael, what would you like to know about your name or somebody else's?
About my name?
Uh-huh.
Hmm, fascinating. I've been listening to the show. You know what? I'm going to share the love. How about Michael, my son Michael?
Okay, he has the same last name. Does he have the same middle name as yours?
Yeah.
Did you name him a junior or a second? Or a third?
Junior.
Okay. So when it's good, you guys have a lot in common. So when it's good, it's really, really good. But when it's not good, it's really kind of bad. And he's, because he's a junior and not a third or the second or whatever, it means that he's going to act up sometimes just to get your attention. Okay. Then he will use his humor. He will use his humor to try to get your attention. And if it doesn't work, he'll act out. Okay. So you want to make sure that you're always giving him plenty of attention, and he needs to feel included just like you need to feel included. That's really important to him. So if you're going someplace, even if you know that he doesn't want to go, invite him anyway, because he will be so grateful he was invited, even if he says, no, Dad, it's okay, I don't want to go. And then you don't think another thing of it and go without him. But just knowing that he could go makes him feel good. So even if you're going to go run some stupid errand, it doesn't matter. You say, hey, you want to go? You know, because it's very important to your son to feel like he's wanted. Okay. And that he's included. And what's really nice in both of your names is, have you noticed that the older you get, the more self-confident you get? Okay. And the same thing will happen for him. Same thing will happen for him. And the other thing that's important to know, because, you know, my mother used to always tell us we see our own worst faults in everybody else. And so you will see your own challenges in him, just like he will see his challenges in you. And that's when, you know, you guys can rub a little bit the wrong way, because you take it very personal, because it's like in your face, your own challenges. But the major challenge that you both have in your name is able to get the memory to work really, really well. You make things a little harder than they have to be, because if it came too easily, you'd say, oh, that was easy. And the next time it comes around, you waste all this valuable time trying to remember how you did it last time, that it was so darn easy. So instead, you make it a little hard. So then you can look and say, ah, that was tough. I remember those tough parts. Now I know how I want to do it differently. So when he's doing something the hard way, simply stand back and say, do you want to do it the hard way, or would you like to know another way that might be easier for you? Up to you. But not to tell him what to do, because he's got it in his name, just like you've got it in your name, that you guys like to be in charge of yourselves. Okay?
Yeah, very, very interesting, Sharon. Very interesting. You know, 100% on.
Well,
I can tell you that much. I can feel you feeling me, feeling him, feeling you. So I love that you're right on the money.
Sounds
and I just want to say hi.
Oh, you're wonderful, Michael. Oh, you're
my
moving to
Tennessee. Comes on. I'll be on at 9 every other Thursday, and I wanted to stop in and say hi and God bless, and I'm looking forward to being back.
Oh, Michael, I'm so glad you are. Are you the one that has the psychic show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and it comes on at 9 Eastern.
Okay, all my listeners, if you want a psychic input versus just the names, you know I read the names and can teach it where everybody can do it, where psychic gifts I don't think you can be taught. But, Michael, it's great to meet you.
Thank you, Sharon. I know you got another call, and I want to meet everybody, and I'm loving to have you come on my show and talk a while with me, too. Listen,
great.
You have a good day, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Blessings.
Okay.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kathy from New York.
Hi, different Sharon.
Kathy than we had earlier. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. What would you like to know?
What are my options?
You can ask any question that you want to ask out of the universe, because the vast majority of all those questions are sitting there in your name. The answers are. That's why we call the show Know the Name, Know the Answers.
I would like to know about my health.
Okay. Can you give your last name to my wonderful producer? And Dawn, if you don't mind getting her last name, and let me talk to Mona while you're getting that, and then I'll come right back to Kathy, because I can't do health without the full name. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. In the meantime, Mona, from Idaho, where in Idaho? Is Mona from Idaho on the line?
This is still Kathy.
Kathy, I guess Dawn is busy. Because I was going to say, I'd really appreciate it if he would, you know, do that. So I gathered you didn't give him your full name because you didn't want it on air.
Right.
You can also email it to me real quickly at knowthename.com. All right, info@knowthename.com. Okay?
I'm sorry, what was the second one?
info@knowthename.com. Okay?
Okay.
And we do have like a minute and a half commercial coming up. Okay? So, Dawn, if we're ready, let's go ahead and take that break, and I'll come back with Kathy, and then we'll get to Mona and David. Okay, everybody, stay tuned.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
And we are back. Yay. Okay. So I want to know, do we still have Kathy on the line, or are we not having Kathy on the line while we're getting the last name? And do we have Mona on the line? Hey, Dawn, are you with me? Who do we have?
Sharona, this is still Kathy. I think Dawn left you.
He's there. I know he's right there because he's typing away.
I sent you the email.
Okay, I just need to get it. Let me see if I can refresh this just incredibly fast. Okay? You know, Don's juggling so many things back there, and he's fabulous. Okay, Kathy, I got it. Thank you. Okay, that helps me. Yeah, and for everybody out there, if you give Dawn your full name when you call in, I don't say the last name out loud on the thing so you can keep some autonomy, okay? And so, Kathy, you wanted to know about your health, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the really good news. You do not have diabetics or that problem coming through. When I'm looking at this, you know, it looks to me like you could have stuff that is misdiagnosed or miscalled, not misdiagnosed, miscalled, or like something that's very genetic or generic that, because your doctor doesn't know what's going on, and so they'll just call it something, okay? Uh-huh. But the only thing I see that you're susceptible to in your name is Epstein-Barr. Are you familiar with Epstein-Barr at all?
I am.
Okay, and there is a protocol that Michael Anthony gives in one of his books, his very first book. And it's not an easy protocol, but it gets rid of the Epstein-Barr, because Epstein-Barr, when you think you're chasing it out of one organ, it goes and hides in another one. And it can cause tiredness. It can cause brain fog. It can cause ringing in the ears. It's the basic root of some of the diseases like cancer and other things. But it's really like there's other forms or things that cause cancer also. But Epstein-Barr can cause or make you susceptible to all these other things. And it looks like, it really would look like, you know, that the minute that you hit about 38 years old, that you would get Epstein-Barr. And then it, as you think you were getting rid of it, it would just go hide in a different organ. So I would suggest doing, you know, that protocol for Epstein-Barr. And it takes a while, but it's absolutely worth it. It starts with celery juice every morning.
Okay.
Okay. And it'll wipe it out, and you'll find that you have a whole lot more energy. Okay. And that all those other things that can start to take root in the body, they won't have anything to hang on to. So you'll keep your health, because that's the only thing that's in your name.
Okay.
You know, and so that's the good news and the not so good news. You know, it's the good news. There's only one thing, and it's, and the bad news is it takes a while to get rid of it. I mean, to really get rid of it and not just move it to a different organ. Okay.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and God bless. Thank you for holding so well. Okay, Mona, it's your turn.
Hello.
Hi, Mona. What can I do for you? What would you like to know?
How can I be less moody, especially around my significant person or my mate? I feel like I'm just kind of crabby and short a lot.
Okay. What's the first name only of your significant?
Gordon.
Okay. So here's what the main issue is. You both are the chiefs. And when there's no Indians, it gets very moody when somebody's not being an Indian and you want to be the chief. Okay. And
right.
You want to be the chief.
That's
and he
true.
Wants to be the chief. And there's a problem there. Okay.
Right.
So, how to solve the problem? The main thing that I've seen that works when I see these combinations in the name between the two of you is if you decide and he decides what you're going to be in charge of, and then together you agree what he's going to be in charge of, and you don't offer suggestions unless asked in his area, and you teach him, was that a suggestion? Did I ask? When he goes to tell you what to do in your area. And as long as you both agree, these are your expertise. I mean, you guys have in your names what my parents had in their names. And they did it by mom was in charge of anything that had to do inside the house. Dad was in charge of anything that had to do outside the house. And boy, was there a ruckus if somebody tried to step on the other person's feet. Okay. So it's the yeah. same type of thing. You guys have the same thing going in your names. And so you have to decide who's going to be in charge of what. And then you just got to trust each other that they know best. And the coolest thing right. is if the other person makes a mistake, like you go, oops, I didn't do that well. Or he goes, oh, oops, I didn't do that well. If the partner that did not make the mistake just looks at him and says, I know you did your best. And had you thought of that, you would have done something better. But I trust you'll do it better next time. And so you believe in each other and you support each other that way. Both of you will rise to the occasion because neither one of you really wants to disappoint the other. And there's a lot of love. Both of you have so much love in your names. Okay. So yeah. it's just the little things that you guys are letting get to you, like who gets to be the boss. And that's overriding. And both of you guys think loyalty is so important and talking good about somebody behind their back. So the other thing you can do, if you want to make his day, is when he's in eavesdropping, you know, distance, but you're talking on the phone. I used to have certain girlfriends that just knew I would do this because my kids have this in their names. Okay. And so I would say, I would just switch when the minute I knew they could hear me, I would switch and I'd go, you know what? You know, I would say it about my kids, but you could say about Gordon, you could say, you know what he did the other day? This was so sweet of him. And you know, he's in eavesdropping. And so you're bragging on him to your girlfriend. And then after a while, your girlfriend would say, yeah. Is he out of eavesdropping range yet? Can we change the subject yet? But you prearrange it, right. You know, you prearrange it with two or three friends that, hey, you're going to do that for them. And you'll be glad to listen and do that for, you know, it'll go both ways. But that'll just pump him up like a big peacock, and you guys will get along all that much better.
That sounds great.
Okay. You know, because
okay,
and
thank you.
And he wants things that are fair. And I'll tell you something. You both have, I love this in names. I mean, when I'm looking for jobs or for qualities for people, you know, like for a lot of the firms that I work with, when I'm looking at working with their HR departments, I look for some of the combinations that both of you guys have in your names. And it's the way you do practicality and logic and step-by-step things, and you both do it. But what I found is that when both significant others have that in their names, if your logic isn't the same, it can rub the other person the wrong way. Okay?
Yeah.
So instead of saying, what? Yeah. So instead of getting upset with them and going, what? What is your thinking? Instead, ask a question and say, okay, my logic takes me in a different direction. How did you get to there? You know, show me what you're doing.
Yeah.
How did you get to there? And explain your steps.
That happens with us. Yeah.
Yeah. And if asking questions instead of just going, yeah, right, that's not it, helps a whole lot. But you guys have a lot in common. So if you just learn who gets to be the Indian chief in what departments, you guys will be fine. Okay?
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome, Mona. You have a great evening. Okay, Dave.
You too. Thank you again.
Uh-huh. David from Australia.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Yes. Hello, I'm really good.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to be great with that name. Just good? I'm teasing you.
Well, I'm just waking up, but it's excellent so far.
Well, good. What can I do for you? What would you like to know?
Well, I thought I'd ask you about maybe employment. I guess in finances, that's a good place to start. That's
okay.
Always on my mind, like it is for a lot of people.
Well, finances for you, it looks like it goes good for a while and then it goes scary and then it goes good for a while and then it goes scary. Okay?
Okay, and, well, that sounds like a familiar pattern over the last 40 or so years.
Yeah, that's kind of in your name. So if you know it's going to go good and then it's going to go scary, while it's going good, put some reserves away. So when it goes scary, it's not so scary. Okay, does that make sense?
Right, that makes sense having those. It does, yeah. I do like to maintain a balance. We've had a lot of pretty good stability going for the past couple of years, but reserves are always good.
Yeah, reserves are always good. And you know why? Because when things are going good, it's easier for you to create more good. But the minute you don't quite have or something falls through and you don't quite have it, the fear that you drop into because you're so responsible, okay? And so you're overly responsible. Bless your heart. And so what happens is when you go into fear, like, oh my gosh, I may not make what I thought, then that fear creates the lack, and then it's not so good for a while.
Right, absolutely. Well, that makes sense for everybody. I think that's a common feeling.
Okay.
You're going strong, and then all of a sudden you come to a point where you say, gee, I don't have enough to cover whatever expense it is or whatever project it is. Yeah.
Some people don't go into fear.
Which isn't always comfortable.
Yeah. So just so that everybody knows that's listening, that's a reaction for anybody with the first vowel of an A. First vowel of an A in their first name, that's the reaction of when they go into fear the minute they don't have it. Other people, like if they had a first vowel of an O, just to give you some contrast, because you say, oh, I thought everybody would feel like that. And I'm going, no, they don't. Anybody with a first vowel of an O says, oh, I just need to work harder. Oh, I need to step up my game. They don't go into fear. They go into drive. You know,
right.
They just get going harder. So it sits in that first vowel of an A for you. Okay. And then that fear will
right.
attract that. And you have this amazing ability, David, that you can look at doing carpentry or fixing or what I want to call repetitive work, something that's the same a lot, and you don't get bored. You know, I mean, you can do what needs to get done and you just do it. Like there's a lot of us.
Well, I say that's true. I will do what needs to get done. That's true. I don't know. I do sometimes get bored. I do have a very diversified kind of personality, but
but
I do have that.
But you can still do it.
To get things done.
Yeah, but you can get bored and still get the thing done. You know, other people, they get bored and they go, I can't do this. And they walk away and the thing doesn't get done. You know, right. Or they procrastinate until it's a dangerous, oh my God, we have to get this done. Okay.
Well, you got to have a change of attitude to get anything done.
Yeah. It's just amazing, you know, that you can do that. Okay. So,
it's that energy that manifests things in life.
Yeah, but you have it in your name. The reason I say architect or builder or carpenter or something is just because you have it in your name that you love to fix things, repair things, make things right.
Okay, well, maybe I've got that problem solver nature in me.
Well, I think it's great, you know, that you're the fix-it man.
Thank you.
So if somebody had a problem, they'd come to you and you'd do your best to fix it. You know, it's the love of problem solving.
Is that part of my sort of my inner energetic pattern or something, my numerology? I mean, I'd rather not always have to solve other people's problems, but I do seem to be inclined to do that in life.
It's in your name. I do not know numerology. What I do is nameology. Okay? Ask me, is that in your numerology? I go, I haven't a clue. Okay? But it is in your name, using nameology. Okay? And so the other thing is also, David, just so that you know, you have something in your name which I call the charisma oil. And it's just like everybody's going to be attracted to you. And you can turn on that oil and let everybody smell it and come to you, or you can turn it off. It's like an on-off switch.
Wow. But that sounds like a great thing to have.
Yes, it is. You have a natural charisma, and it would start with your smile and the twinkle in your eyes. So when you want to turn it on, smile and twinkle in those eyes, and it'll just ooze out from there because it's natural.
Wow.
Okay. So you were born with that, and you might have suppressed it, you know, for a while when you thought, oh, I'm getting too much attention or kind of attention maybe I don't want. But just know that you have that oozing all the way through your name. So I would say use it and share it.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Okay. Now, to answer your question, you'll always be solving everybody's problem because in everybody's name is how we serve another. We all have things in our name that say, what are we giving? You know, we're here to learn certain things, but what are we giving back? How are we serving? Yep. And in your name, it says you're serving by fixing and solving problems. So as much as you look at it and go, I don't want to have to serve everybody else's problems anymore, that's your way of service back to the universe. So you'll you'll always be doing it.
Well, I think that explains a lot then.
You know, because it's important.
Yeah, my background lends it.
Go ahead.
I don't think so. I say that's really really insightful. I'm very appreciative of your identifying that and me and pointing that out. But that's something that's sort of almost a divine, I don't know, inspired gift to
right.
the world
it was,
and try to fix things.
Right, because it was pre-planned. Now, you were going to say something about your background?
Right. Oh, sure. I've worked as an investigator for lawyers for more than, 25 years. So, you know, that's generally an investigator is people go to private investigators when their problems are so out of control that they can't handle it themselves. And at that point, you don't always have a good answer anyhow or a good solution for these types of problems because they're usually coming from the person themselves with their own emotional stress. So there's almost no one in the world that can solve that except for the person themselves through self-care, I found.
Well, you know what? I so wish you knew nameology science because you'd be surprised what you can see in a name and how you can help somebody solve their own problems simply by shining a huge flashlight on it. You know, it's like, okay, here's the flashlight. And how you do that is you show all the other things that are smaller and they go, oh yeah, that's me. Oh yeah, that's me. Oh yeah. And then you build into that when you've established the trust and they can see how accurate nameology science is. Then you bring out the big flashlight, you know, the kerosene lantern, and you go, oh, and now look at this one.
Right.
But the good thing is that all the answers or how to solve the problems are also in the name. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yep. No, I understand that perfectly. That's just shining a light to show the truth.
Yeah, it is. And your name says that you will always be working for your understanding of divinity and our creator. And so you start your day with that and you end your day with that. And same thing, you started your life with that connection and you'll end your life with that connection. And that is your ethical code because it's all based on your understanding of creation and your creator. So that is beautiful. So it's nice that you're in that field because you're going to have integrity while you're doing it and a lot of compassion.
Oh, super. Great. Thank you for the reading. Great. I loved it.
You are so welcome. Have a wonderful, what you guys would be in the morning, right?
Yeah.
In Australia?
Yep, it's about 9, 10 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock in the morning here, next day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got Australia down
Friday.
Pretty well, simply because I work with a lot of Australian companies. So that's cool. Anyway, have a wonderful day, David.
Okay, you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, I want to go back to what we were talking about with namology science and all the wonderful ways that it can be used. I did a little bit on that. We did today with individuals and how it can be used. But did you know that it's helping companies with HR and how to know which applicants to interview or which ones you don't need to really waste your time with or which questions to ask ahead of time so you know you can ask all of your applicants the very same question? And I often say that human resource departments hire me to sort through the applicants because most are wasting time, resources, and personnel reading resumes, screening, and interviewing, and are still failing in their attempts to hire. So I help companies hire right the first time so that the HR department becomes the hero of the company. The bottom line is, I always think companies can't afford not to hire me or someone else that knows namology science because it's such a useful tool. And the other profession that I work with a lot besides just individuals that I love working with is that lawyers hire me to improve their courtroom reputations by increasing their rate of successful litigation because they can thoroughly know the strengths and weaknesses of not only the judge, but every member of the jury. And so I help lawyers determine who will most likely find for or against their clients. And so the bottom line there is that I help them stack the deck in their favor. And so if you have a profession or you're in a working environment, it may behoove you to learn some namology science so that you too can have a better work relationship or know what's really going on behind the scenes. One of my favorite things to do is when HR departments call me and say, we're having a problem with these two employees. They're not getting along, and yet we want to keep both of them. So what do we do? And we can look at the names and we can see where the irritants are, because you can always compare two names to see what's really going on. And then the solution is also in the name. So the last one that I did just recently was they had a micromanager and always constantly wanting to know everything with a person who had freedom in their name, and they really needed that freedom. So they were driving each other nuts because the one who needed the freedom wasn't reporting in enough, and the micromanager was calling all day long to see what was going on with each client and how they were doing. And anyway, they were both ready to quit. And it was like they gave an ultimatum to the HR department. One of us needs to go. Decide who you want to keep because we're not going to work together. And so I got the phone call and I said, you know, it's a fairly easy solution. The micromanager needs to be better kept informed and the freedom person needs to be left alone more. So we made an agreement that at the end of every working day for the last 5 or 10 minutes, he would speak into a recording device that then could be emailed to his manager, and he would go through and say, this is who I spoke with, these were our agreements, this is where we are on these different things, and give her a total update of what happened during the day. And therefore, she would be kept very well informed. And in response, she would not be calling him all day and bugging him to give her information because she knew it was always going to be coming in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the workday. And so that is the happy news. It seems to be working very well for them. And so if you have a problem, whether it be at work or at home, or you just want to know more about yourself and your own purpose, you know, come join me. Go on knowthename.com, schedule yourself an appointment on the services page, or call us and we'll do it for you. If, for those of you that don't like computers or don't want your information in the computer, and we are happy as a lark to share information with you and get you those answers. And that's why we have this radio show that says, Know the Name, Know the Answers. It is our joy to join you and be able to be of service. So this is the host of Know the Name, Know the Answers, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, signing off for this week. And next week, we'll be back with an interesting, fascinating guest that can give you answers, and then I'll tag along with the name. God bless and have a good week.